For titles, tonight, the sermon title tonight is, Here's Why I Can't. Or, 10 Reasons Paul Shouldn't Have Been an Apostle. Here's Why I Can't, in the subtitle, or 10 Reasons Paul Shouldn't Have Been an Apostle. Reason number one. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And then the people were together in the upper room after Jesus had ascended. Peter stands up, begins talking. And in verse 16, he says, Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that the field is called in their proper tongue, Acheldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, Let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. In other words, what they're saying here is this. We're going to replace Judas. And the person that's going to replace Judas, in other words, the person that's going to step into that office of the apostle, has to be somebody that's been with us from the day that Jesus was raised up out of the water to the day that he ascended. So reason number one that Paul should not have been an apostle, he was not qualified because he never saw Jesus. Oh, no, don't get technical with me about the Damascus Road thing, okay? He did not meet this qualification, did he? In other words, he didn't have the same experience as others and he didn't have the same testimony of the others. You see this? So reason number one, Paul should not have been an apostle because he was not qualified. And the reason he wasn't qualified was because he did not meet this standard right here. So therefore, he could never stand up and testify to people, I saw Jesus. I watched him come out of the water. I watched him raise the dead. I watched him open the blind eyes. I sat at his feet with Mary and Martha and Lazarus and listened to him teach. I was there breaking the bread and the loaves and the fish. I was rowing on that boat. You see what I'm saying? Reason number two. Turn to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And what's happened here, Stephen had been preaching, been doing great things, but he was arrested. And he was put on trial. And during his trial, he preached a powerful sermon. So powerful, the people went crazy. And it says in verse 59, And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep, or he died. And Saul, as we know as Paul, was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now look at this. Paul was consenting to his death. In other words, Paul was the one that gave the approval. What you're seeing here is the New Testament version of a mafia hit. Godfather Paul.
Hey, you take Stephen, stone him. We ain't going to have this no more.
He was consenting. In other words, reason number two that Paul should not have been an apostle, he was guilty of the horrible sin of murdering an innocent man. And after all, anybody that commits a sin like that has no business trying to preach the Word of God. Anybody who's ever done anything like that, God can't use them. And Paul should know this. He's a smart guy. So reason number two, he should not have been an apostle because he was guilty of murder Murder of an innocent, God-fearing, God-serving, gospel-preaching man. Number three, Acts chapter 9. Verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Reason number three why Paul should not have been an apostle. He's not worthy of serving God after rejecting Jesus and destroying the lives of Christians. How can you possibly, after living a life like that, hunting them down, arresting them, splitting up their homes, destroying their lives, separating families. I mean, this almost sounds like Nazi Germany. And honestly, guys, there really wasn't any difference between what was happening then and what Hitler did centuries later. It's just that Paul wasn't a part of the Gestapo. But what he was doing, I mean, look at this. Threatenings and slaughter. That word slaughter, it means pretty much what it's talking about. So the third reason that Paul should not have been an apostle is because he rejected Jesus and he literally went about doing everything he could to destroy the lives of Christians. Number four, Acts chapter 5. I mean, how in the world can you stand up and truly represent Jesus when you've done something like that? Acts chapter 5. Verse 17, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles. And it's talking here about Peter and John. They get arrested because they were doing good things for Jesus. And it says that laid their hands on them, put the apostles in the common prison. Well, if you jump ahead in this, in verse 34, while they're on trial, Peter is standing up and he's giving testimony. In verse 34, it says, then stood there up one of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto them, all the others in this council, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves, what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and had beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Now this fellow Gamaliel, history records that his influence went beyond just the norm. As you can read in this, he wasn't so crazy about the law that he wanted to just destroy Peter and John. He operated with a degree of wisdom, and he said, look, think about what's happened in the past. Other people have risen up, and they've tried to do things, and you know they died, and the thing fell apart. I suggest you don't do anything to these fellows. Let it go, because if it's not of God, it's not going to work. But if it is of God, then you're going to be fighting God. And they listened to him and they said, well, yeah, I mean, this guy makes sense. Gamaliel had a tremendous amount of influence over the Jews, especially the priests, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. I mean, you name it, this guy was it. If they had a presidential election, he probably would have won. And he also had a school. And his school was like the Harvard of its day. It was the most prestigious school anyone to go to. And you couldn't just say, well, I'm going to go to Gamaliel school. I mean, you had to be accepted into this school. It was the elite of the elite. Okay, now with that in mind, look over in chapter 21. In chapter 21, Paul's arrested and he's on trial again. And in verse 39, but Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. Now for him to make that statement that I was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, instantly he gained a degree of respect in their eyes. Because anyone who had been taught and trained at Gamaliel school was somebody that they would listen to because he sat at the feet of the master. This guy can't be a chump, or he'd have never made it in that school. He'd have never even been accepted in that school. So there's got to be something incredibly special about this man, Paul. Well, I want to show you something else. Look in Galatians chapter 1 with all of this in mind. Paul was doing a little bit of name dropping there. Galatians chapter 1, look at verse 13. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. In other words, what he is saying is, when you put all of us experts in the same room together, I excelled. I was like the honor student. I was the gifted child. I was the one that they put in the advanced placement courses. I was the one that was way ahead of everybody else. And we know this to be true, that Paul was looked upon as, I'll say this just for effect, Paul was looked upon as maybe Gamaliel's successor. I mean, this guy, Paul, he was on, I'll say it like this, he was on the fast track for career advancement. You ever worked in a company where it's like they had somebody picked that they were moving along rather quickly and you didn't think it was fair? Well, Paul, fair or not, I mean, this guy was qualified for that kind of advancement. And so, reason number four why Paul should not have been an apostle. He was highly educated. He had worked very hard to get where he was. He was on the fast track for career advancement. He had an incredible career ahead of him. And he would have to turn his back on everything that he had accomplished to serve God. He would, in the eyes of people, he would have to have taken a step down in the social status ladder of man. So Paul, listen, you got a good job. You're making good money. You got fortune, fame. I mean, people know who you are. They respect you. It's like, man, you are on the fast track to become numero uno. You're going to be like Gamaliel. Everybody's going to look to you. You'll probably start your own school. Or you'll probably take over for Gamaliel. I mean, Paul, you're going to throw all that away? What will your in-laws think? You could go broke. You could lose your home. You could lose your, I was going to say your car. Your chariot. You could... Preachers don't make money. Paul, what's wrong with you? You need to think about this. Have you gone to the guidance counselor? Have you sat down and talked with someone? Have you talked to the high priest? Have you sat down? Have you really thought this thing out, Paul? Because at this point, you'd be turning your back on the most promising career of anybody I've ever met. So why should Paul not be an apostle? Because he was already on track to be successful. Number 5, Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 26. Now, by the time you get to verse 26 in Acts chapter 9, Paul has already had what we call the Damascus Road experience. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple, meaning that he was born again. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. In other words, everywhere they went, he went. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which, when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea, and sent him forth to Tarsus. Now, where was Paul from? What did they tell him to do? Go home. Go home. Reason number 5 that Paul shouldn't have been an apostle. The other apostles didn't want him. Well, bless God, if they don't want me, then phooey, they can have their old apostle stuff. They can preach that old gospel stuff. I got better things to do. Why waste your time hanging around people that tell you you're a novice? Why waste your time? Bless God, you got a call on your life, Paul. Just forget this stuff. I mean, you're so smart, you just got born again, but you're so smart that you're going to be able to dispute with people. You'll be able to sit down and have yourself a big argument with the Jews and the Grecians, and you'll be able to confound them with your brilliance. And yet the apostles don't recognize this in you. They don't recognize this mighty calling of God upon your life. Phooey with them. They told you to go home? Go home. Just go home, Paul. Just go home. Go back to what you used to do. You were successful with that. If the people of God don't want you, then you don't need this. You need to do something else. The reason number 5 why Paul shouldn't have been an apostle? Nobody wanted him. They didn't consider him good enough. They thought it was smarter for him as a new convert to go home and do what? Maybe pray, which is what we find out that's what he did. As you keep reading in the New Testament, you find out that's what he did. Number 6, history indicates that when Paul had his Damascus Road experience, he was roughly 30 years old, 30, 31, 32, 33, something like that, which today would be probably somewhere around 45 to 55 years old, because the lifespan back then wasn't that long, wasn't as long as what you have today. So back then, if they're looking at dying off at about 60 or 65, and we're looking at, 75 or so, he would have been about the equivalent, about 45 or so. And in other words, what I'm getting at, reason number 6 for Paul not to be an apostle, why he shouldn't have been an apostle, reason number 6, he was too old to start something new. Paul, you're 30 years old. Or in 2,000 years, you're 50 years old. You're too old to start something new. I mean, come on, man, the body's giving out. You can't do this. I mean, you've never done this before. Paul, come on, use some wisdom here. You got a good thing going over this. You're too old to start something new. You're too old to step out and try this. Use some sense, Paul. Anybody in their right mind is not going to do this. You should know better. You're a smart guy. Reason number 7. History indicates that he was short, pudgy, and balding. And an ugly nose. In other words, you're too ugly to be an apostle. Who's going to sit and listen to you? Short, balding, pudgy little guy. with a nose that people want to punch instead of look at? Come on, Paul. Nobody's going to go to your services. Nobody's going to come to your crusades. They're not going to send you any offerings. And if you do have any tapes, don't put your picture on them for crying out loud. Who's going to buy your books? Paul, you do not fit the persona image of a successful preacher. So you shouldn't be an apostle. Give this idea up. It's silly. It's crazy. So reason number 7, he didn't have the looks. Reason number 8, he never went to a Christian college or university. He was not educated. Well, think about it. Sure, he went to Gamaliel school, but I guarantee you this, Gamaliel wasn't teaching him about Jesus. Gamaliel didn't teach him about praying in tongues. Gamaliel didn't teach him about being dead to the law. Gamaliel taught the law. So Paul wasn't qualified to be an apostle. I mean, come on, Paul. You haven't been to Christian college, Bible university. You haven't done anything like that. If you want to work in the nursery or clean the church, fine. But an apostle? Come on, man. You got to have a good education under your belt. You need to go to at least a seminary. It's something, Paul. But you're uneducated. Nobody's going to ask you to come and be their pastor. You don't have a degree you can hang on the wall, or at least 2 or 3 degrees. You don't have anything like that. You want to try and go in and preach in churches. What are you going to tell them when they ask you, well, where did you go to college? What university did you attend? What's your biblical degree in, Paul? So forget this apostle stuff. Paul should never have been an apostle because, number 8, he did not go to a Christian college or university. Number 9, Paul should never have been an apostle because he was not ordained or licensed by anyone.
Who are you ordained by? Are you ordained? Who'd you get your credentials through?
He didn't have any credentials. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He didn't go through anybody's training program. He didn't go through anybody's discipleship program. He didn't do anything like that. He didn't have any kind of ordination papers that he could take with him and show people to prove he was qualified to be an apostle. For crying out loud, if you're not ordained, you don't have a license, you have no business doing anything for God. Who do you think you are, Paul? Number 10. He didn't use the King James Version. Now that number 10, trust me, that's a joke. It's just to, inject a little bit of humor. Please do not take that one seriously. Think about all 9 of these reasons that I've given. All 9 of them. Anybody recognize any of them? Anybody heard any of these before? Every one of these reasons, every one of these 9 reasons that I've given tonight are reasons that I would go so far as to say most Christians disqualify themselves from serving God. I've done this, I've done that. God can't use me because I did. I'm not this, I don't have that, I didn't go here, I didn't attend that. I don't carry this. This isn't hanging on my wall, that's not hanging on my wall, etc., and so on and so forth. I've encountered so many Christians over the years that have given me one or more of these excuses. Now, as we went through this, I'm sure you guys were kind of catching on, and some of these things you kind of laughed at. Yet, without a show of hands, how many of you could identify with any of those as a reason why you don't believe you can be an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher? And yet, here's the thing. Paul fit every one of those descriptions. Every one of them. But look what he did. See, he overcame every one of these obstacles. He did not let any of these things hold him back. He did everything he could to become everything God wanted him to become. And I think he was pretty successful. Extremely successful. In fact, he didn't focus on the reasons why he couldn't be this. He focused on what Christ had to offer. He focused on everything that God said he could be. He focused on everything that God had deposited on the inside of him. He focused on what could be in Christ as opposed to what shouldn't be in the natural. And the problem we have is that we look at the end result of Paul without considering all of these things I've listed here. All we see is the end result of him being committed to Jesus. All we see is the end result of his times in prayer. All we see are the end result of him receiving from God instruction and direction. All we see is the end result of him spending time in the presence of Jesus for the anointing of God to be heavy upon him. That's all we see. Or that's all we pay attention to. But everything that I showed you here tonight, except for the things in history, you know, like his physical appearance and the age and so forth, but the rest of this is revealed right here in Scripture. It's all right here. And we read it, and we have read it. If you've read the Bible, you've read all those things. And yet we don't let those kinds of things sink in. Instead, we just look at everything he did, and we say, well, I could never do that. In other words, what you're doing is you're looking at you now and comparing you now to him at the end. You see what I'm saying? And you're saying, well, I just could never do that. And then you give the reasons why. Well, if Paul had been like that, he would have gone through that list of nine things that I gave to you here, you know, over this sermon. He would have gone through that list of nine things and said, well, I can't because. Well, I can't because. Well, I can't because. And he would have done something else. But instead, what he did, he knew he had done all these things. In fact, some of the things, when you read in the book of Acts and the things that Paul wrote, he makes reference to some of this stuff. And at one point, you know, he writes and he says, look, all the things that I gain, I count them as loss. I count them as dung, that I may gain everything that Christ has for me. It's kind of like he's saying, you know what, all this stuff you guys accuse me of, you're right. All those things happened, and I'm not denying it. But you're forgetting one big factor, and that is what Christ has done in me. That's why I am what I am. Let me show you, look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And take a look at verse 5. Paul says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. In other words, I'm not an apostle because I did it. I'm an apostle because of what God did. I am sufficient to be an apostle because of the work that God has done in me. And the only way that could happen was because he let it be done in him. He accepted that God could do this work in him, and then he let God do this work in him. And you know what the end result was? He became an apostle. When he, remember, on the Damascus Road experience, he was blinded, and then Ananias came and ministered to him and shared with him about his calling, what he was supposed to do. Right then and there, Paul could have said, I can't do that. I'm supposed to what? I can't do that. Do you know who I am, what I've done? Do you know that I have, here's reason number one. Here's reason number three. Here's reason number eight. This is why I can't do that. He didn't say any of that. Instead, what he did was submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and accept whatever it was that God had called him to do. Now, I can tell you, I firmly believe that in Acts chapter 9, where Paul was at that point in his life, I honestly don't believe that he understood the fullness of what we know now as we continue to read through the New Testament, everything that he did and what he accomplished. Because, spiritually speaking, he grew into it because his sufficiency was not in himself, it was in God producing in him what he could do. For every one of us, and it doesn't matter who we are, you know, you can say what you want. I mean, there are some things that aren't on this list that a lot of people use as excuses. Well, I don't have the money that's necessary. I don't have I live in the wrong side of town. I'm married to the wrong person. I've got this and that and so on. I mean, other people could add their own things to this list, but the faith, you're trying to define your calling based on your perceived self-sufficiency. In other words, you're trying to figure out how you're going to create this calling. And God said, but wait a minute. I'm the one who doles out these callings. Therefore, I'm the one who's able to make you sufficient to fulfill it. And if you try on your own, if you keep looking at you, well, I just, my life's been stinky and I was raised wrong and I was abused and I was treated wrong and this kind of thing happened and that, I just don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how I can figure it. I just don't know. And God said, you're just going to sit there the rest of your life trying to figure it out. But if you would just stop and just sit and just spend time with me instead of complaining, instead of telling me all the reasons why you can't, just sit there. Just tell me. Just worship with me. Worship me. Be in my presence. Let me minister to you. Let me release into you what you need to accomplish what I've called you to do. And if you do that, your end result, let me say it like this. When we look at the end result, what we see in Paul, his ministry, what he did, what he accomplished, is it not something isn't it somewhat intimidating? I mean, to look at him and what he did and to try to think of ourselves as doing that. I'm not talking about writing scripture, but, everything that he did. It's kind of intimidating. Let me tell you something. When you make a determination to let your sufficiency to be of God, where you are now, right now, does not compare with where you'll be. And the day will come, you will intimidate. In other words, what I mean is people will look at you and they'll think, oh gosh, I could never preach like that. I could never teach like that. I could never do that. I don't know what it is about you, but God has done something special in you. Well, what's he going to do in you? Have you considered that he wants to do the same kind of special thing in you to cause you to become what he wants you to be? Stop looking at the end result of Paul and thinking that's how he was born. He became what we read only because he depended totally upon God to bring it about. And every one of us, every person here and every person listening to this, doesn't matter where you are, you have the ability to become a Paul. What I mean by that is this. I'm not saying you're called to be an apostle, but I'm saying that the end result of your life can be just as spectacular as the end of Paul's life. But you've got to come to the place of truly believing this is possible. Stop using the excuses. Anything of your past, it doesn't count. It's what you want to be in your future. It's the amazing thing. God has this ability to work around what we see as permanent failure. God has this ability to not pay attention to it and make us into everything that he wants. You may feel like that you can't because of, and you'll come up with your own list of 9 or 10. Take that list, burn it. Because that list is nothing but an imagination in your mind, not God's heart. And as long as you let that list become the thing that stands between you and God, you're never truly going to see Him. You're only going to see the list that you've written out for yourself. It will filter your vision of God. But the moment you take that list and crumble it up and throw it, get rid of it, you say, God, I have no idea how. I don't know. I just, in my mind, I don't understand. In my mind, there's a lot of can't. But I am willing to fight the can't and just let you produce it in me. All of what you want. By faith, I say I can, even though I still feel some can't. By faith, I say I can. Help me understand how you, God, will be my total sufficiency. Help me understand. Help me see what I can become. And the moment you make that kind of a decision, yeah, Satan will fight you. I mean, that's his job. He wants to keep you from accomplishment. He did Paul. But the moment that you make that decision, God will start working. He'll be able to start working in you. And don't let the old things, the old reasons, the old stuff from the past continue to rise up to convince you that you can't. You just remember what Paul wrote, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. No matter what I think I can't do, no matter what I used to think I couldn't, no matter how many reasons I come up on my list, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, which means nothing on this list can stop me when I depend on the strength of Christ. You can do it. Every one of you, you can do it. The only person that can really stop you is you. Don't stop you. Praise the Lord. Your sufficiency is in Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody stand. Now I want you to say this with me. Heavenly Father,
There may be
a lot of can't thoughts in my mind. I want that dealt with. Help me see what you see. Whatever reasons that I've come up with, that I have dwelling in the back of my mind, reasons that I'm allowing to keep me from fulfilling what you want, help me see it. And I ask you for the strength to get past all the can'ts and start seeing all the cans in Christ. Father, help me learn that my total sufficiency is in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands and begin to worship Him and thank Him for this.